This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning, we are going to look at the Holy Spirit, the believer, and the prophetic. How does it work? The Holy Spirit, the believer, and the prophetic. First of all, you should know that every human being is selfish. We should know this. This has nothing to do with, I'm talking about myself and you and every other human being. Every human being is selfish. You think of yourself. You want the best for yourself. You pray for yourself. Your primary thoughts. You are born to take care of you. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean it is evil. It is just the way everybody is. You take care of you, which means you watch out for yourself in your welfare, in your thinking, in your social life, your finances, in your emotional well-being. You know that if you are good, then you can give others good. So you know that taking care of you is important. So you must look out for yourself. This is total truth. So that we must understand. Now, the Holy Spirit, you must also understand, has its agenda. That agenda is independent of you or your feelings. It's independent of me or my feelings, because he knows we are selfish and that it is easy for us to want to appropriate everything to ourselves. In the language, my local language, they will say, if you are on fire and your child is on fire, you remove the fire from your body first before you help your child remove the fire from his body. When you are in a plane, you are about to take off, they will tell you, if the oxygen level in the plane drops, some oxygen marks will drop, you must first fasten the oxygen marks on yourself before you help any other person, including your spouse or your child. The same applies to the life jackets. You must wear your first before you wear for others. Self-preservation is a natural thing for everybody. We must all know that. And there is nobody that doesn't self-preserve. When I'm thinking of me and I'm praying about something, and that is my consciousness, I'm 100%, Lord, maybe I need a job. And I'm praying about it all the time, praying in the spirit, talking about this job. I'll suddenly notice that it would seem as if I channeled all the spiritual energy of jobs towards me. I begin to receive about jobs, and it will be many, and some will be for some other people, but I was just looking for my own. It's like when you write a test and you're looking for your script, it doesn't make you the enemy of all your other classmates. They will give you the script, you open it, and then you'll be looking for the one with your name. That is your script. And that is what you are looking for. After you find your script, you can then help your friends find their script. But you want to find your script first. It is the way we are. God knows this. You notice in the ministry of Jesus that when it comes to his disciples, when they wanted to receive by prophecy, they all were selfish. The Bible says the sons of Zebedee, the two of them, they went to their mother. And their mother came to Jesus to make a request that our two sons sit at the right and left side of Jesus when he comes into glory. The Bible said the other disciples heard it and they protested. Why? Because they were preserving themselves. They were like, how can these people be so forward? All of us are his disciples, and then they want to have the prominent position. So they protested because they also want to have the prominent position. In fact, they were always protesting, the disciples among themselves. So the point where Jesus Christ told them that he who must lead among them must first serve, which is where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit is a serving spirit, not a self-serving spirit, but a serving spirit. And he strives to serve every one of us equally. He strives to serve every one of us equally. He doesn't want to seem as if he has taken sides with Baragbenga against another fellow in the ministry. That is not how the Holy Spirit does it. There is nothing like, I have greater grace, and that because this is Jezebel, so whatever I say here, and the set man, all those English that people speak, I never could understand it. They say it in religion, and you will never hear me say things like that, because I understand the position of the Holy Spirit in these things. He has a duty to every believer to ensure that our joys are full. That means my cup is full. That means your cup is full. That means the cup of my neighbor is full. That means the cup of a believer that I don't know, who is somewhere in maybe Kuala Lumpur, that his cup is also full. So then, how does the Holy Spirit dispense? I will first teach you how to let go of your self-preservation when it comes to spiritual understanding or spiritual intelligence. Because basically, that is the first thing we all think about, ourselves. So when we come to him after we come born again, we come to present our petition as Christians, and we come to present our prayer request, and we come to present ourselves. You always come to the Lord thinking of you. You don't come to him thinking of him or his work. You come to him thinking of you. The reason you woke up in the morning and you go for a service, or you put yourself in inconvenience and you rush to a crusade or to a camp meeting, is because of you. It's because if you don't go, you'll be seen as unserious. If people see you as unserious, people will not help you. They will not support you. And God may not support you. And so, in all these things, you do it for you. So when you come to the Holy Ghost, the first thing it does is that it begins to teach you through the spirit of intercession how to stand in the gap for other people, shedding the weight of self from you. You will be in need. You will come to him to pray. As you are praying in tongues, you begin to hear him telling you, oh, mention Baragbenga. You'll be like, Baragbenga is fine. Why am I praying for Baragbenga? I say, I'm in need, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. It does not fill our cup, Lord. Fill my cup. Why are you telling me to be filling Baragbenga's cup? Baragbenga has a swimming pool full of grace. All I'm asking is a cup. Why are you still asking me to pour into him? But he will do that to rid you of your selfish nature. To rid you, to take away from you that propensity to want to protect and preserve and fulfill your own goal at his expense. So he'll begin to help you to pray for other people, to minister to other people, to think of other people, to take your resources and give to other people. That way, he begins to teach you how to become selfless. That still doesn't mean you don't pray for yourself or that you don't think of you. But now it would deaden that desire in such a way that you would no longer feel bad if God is answering somebody else's prayer and is not answering your own. For example, if somebody is looking for the fruit of the womb, and then the Lord will tell you to go and tell somebody else, congratulations, you are pregnant, or to go and tell somebody else, God says in 2 weeks you are going to have a baby, or that somebody is having challenges with a particular disease, and the Lord will tell you to wait up all night and pray for the person. And at first you feel bad. You feel like, why is God not answering my own prayer? Is it not better that I get my baby first before I pray for other people, right? And yet, you continue in that, and then some people, they would revolt, and they would say, no, I don't want, if you don't give my own baby, I'm not helping you to do that. And they would leave, and they would be watching them. And some people will continue at this, and over time, they deliver their own children because the Lord knows best, and they've surrendered to Him. A lot of us, that desire to surrender or the action of surrender, we struggle with it. We say I surrender, but we really didn't surrender. And so, over time, we see how this affects our relationship with Him, the degree to which we have surrendered. When Ketun Kumar met the man she married, she was a great prophetess, a woman of God, with signs and wonders that the world had never seen before her time. And then she met this man, who was a preacher, and she was sure she should marry him. But the Holy Spirit told her not to. But then she would preserve herself. Marriage is, I believe, one of the greatest dreams of both men and women. We have these dreams for different reasons. For the man, it could be mostly for both. For the man, it's mostly for companionship, I believe. For the woman, it is the same, but not to the same degree. For the woman, it is for procreation. The man also wants children, but the man, having a wife, for the man, is half his problem solved. Well, most women talk about having a husband, not all, most sincerely, they are not thinking of the man, they are thinking of the children they are going to have. You begin to hear things like, oh, time is going, biological clock. I need to have a husband, but the husband is just a means to an end. It's not the husband, go, it is the baby. They want to have children. So usually, that's why I said it's not the same. I've been in this for a while, so I know what I'm talking about. So the man, I'm not saying he doesn't want children, but he wants a wife. And the woman wants children. The husband is just a means to getting them. So at the end of the day, you notice that the woman usually will love the children much more than her husband, in most cases. So then we know that preserving the self is a human thing for both male and female. And we know that the integrity of the Holy Spirit is key to faith. Once any one of us believes the Holy Spirit is biased, it loses integrity. It's like you are looking at the political system, they are doing election. You see how many people will not participate in Nigerian election because they feel the winner has been decided even before the election was done. And you see how some people will believe so much in their American election, thinking that it is fair and fair. And that also is usually rigged. And the people will then begin to talk as if human beings are different from nation to nation, which is not true. But the perception we have makes us determine whether we'll participate or not. So when people believe God is biased, they do not participate. God wants everybody to participate. Therefore, God has to keep his integrity intact by ensuring that every one of us see that he is not biased. That is God. So the perception of God in the prophetic is that God is for everybody. The word of God can come from me to somebody in any country. The word of God can come from anybody to me from, and it has to be like that for the integrity of the Holy Spirit to be intact. It has to be seen that it is for everybody. I cannot appropriate the Holy Spirit to me and say that the Holy Spirit is just for me against a fellow believer. No, but myself and a believer cannot be contending maybe for a job, for a contract. And then I will say to fellow born-again Christians that, hey guys, just forget about it. The Holy Spirit is on my side in this. If I say it, it's just a confession. It's not on anybody's side. Of course, he might have given me the job and he will tell me why. And then he will give them better jobs. But on a serious note, it's not for me and it's not against me. It's not for them, it's not against them. It has to be neutral for the sake of the integrity of the Spirit. We must know this. And so it was really our guiding light as believers when we think of how God then gives us prophetic words and how we appropriate these prophetic words to ourselves. How God gives us. So many of us will hear the word of prophecy, which is awesome. But when we hear it for things, we find it to be accurate. When people begin to dabble into the prophetic on marriage, you find it to be dicey. You find it to be lacking integrity. But when you talk about healing in the prophetic, oh, 100% accurate. You have to understand why. Because the prophetic, as powerful as it is not allowed to meddle with people's free will. And people are self-preserving, which means you cannot use the prophetic. For example, a brother cannot go to a sister and say to her, the Lord said to him by prophecy, you are my wife. He can say it, but the sister will look, have to look at it and think, is he telling the truth? Does it make any sense? And I know most sisters here will protest if any brother tries that, especially if they don't like the brother. Like if the brother is not somebody that they ever fancy being with, and then the brother comes and he says, the Lord said by that I received the word of prophecy that you are my wife. You know how that feels. Because immediately you say that, it infringes on the person's free will, their ability to choose, their ability to make up their mind if they want to go with this person on this journey, and their ability to also talk to God about it. You basically clip it in such a way that they don't have to talk to God, they just have to follow you. If you ever do that, then you are abusing the prophetic, because it is not how the prophetic works. Can never be how the prophetic works. We must know this. I'm teaching this because we're in the season where people are getting a lot of marriages, and recently I got some messages from some young people, not young like that, but they're trying to get married. And I notice the people that are getting the no's are the people that are unnecessarily spiritual about practical issues. Let me say that again. People are getting married. People who are practical are getting married. They are asking ladies out. Ladies are saying yes to them. They are working with the ladies. The ladies are working with them. And they are hitting the altar. We're having back-to-back marriages all over. And if you ask all the couples that are getting married and that things are working for in the realm of people, I'm not talking about things. We know how the prophetic works with us as a ministry in terms of things. After some testimonies I've received now, that by Wednesday when I'm sharing them, all of us will be screaming testimonies of houses of this, received with prophecy, testimonies of scholarships, received in the place of prophecy, things like that, 100% by the Spirit, you will receive them. They do not infringe on anybody's will. So you get my point now? There are things, cars, houses, money, job, all these things that are added. You see? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And all other things, meaning things that have no will of their own, things are added. You must understand that the prophetic is about things, events, places, stuff like that. But the prophetic is not a weapon that God deploys to control people's behavior or to subvert their will. You must understand this. It is important to me that we get it, especially as young men and young women who are walking in the supernatural. You cannot make a car. You cannot marry a car. You cannot say because it's an entity. You can touch it. It is a thing. You cannot say, oh, I want to get married to it. It is a thing. So a thing can easily be willed out. It is difficult for you to see a man who has a wife who will write a will and will his wife, will write in his will, I hereby give my wife to my younger brother. You know, the wife will say, what do you mean? I'm not a property to be willed. I have my own will. So nobody can use their will to will me to anybody. The same with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot will a brother and a sister together. It is impossible. And when you give prophecies, those of us who prophesy, be mindful of this. Because sometimes in your eagerness to talk, you begin to give prophecies that has nothing to do with the word of God. Just give, you just think up of things. You need to tell somebody, oh, I see you with Brother Gwenga, I see you with Sister Tope, I see you with Sister Tolu, oh, the two of you are preaching the gospel in South Asia. It's a lie. You didn't see anything. Shut up. Shut up. Nobody sent you. The Holy Spirit did not put that word in your mouth. That's what we call vain prophecies. Prophecy of the mind. Prophecy that has no root in the word of God. You would never see a foundation for it in the Bible. And such practices are the reasons why people disdain the prophetic. Because sooner or later, people try to use the prophetic to manipulate other people's destinies. And if you do that successfully, you are going to destroy that person's own destiny. If he's not meant to be with you, but he believes God and is gullible, and then you use prophecy to marry him, and then God then tells him, oh, this is your, and then you see that the purpose that God has called him to fulfill is different, and you have already used your manipulation to bring him. Both of you will now be fighting over who is right. See, God wants you to stay in this marriage. God will not bring you to me unless it means that both of us should be together. But the guy is saying, God is telling me to go to South America. I say, no, God did not tell me to leave Nigeria. I don't know where, which God is talking to you. That's how all these kind of talks will begin. Because you have deliberately or ignorantly misappropriated the place of the Spirit to fulfill your self agenda, your selfish agenda. We must all learn this. Things, yes. Positions, yes. You use prophecy to determine, to change the course of time, to change the course of event, to heal the sick. You used to do all the things you can do, but it has to be things. You see? It has to be things. You can give somebody a baby by prophecy. You see? Because a baby has no will. I hope you got that. I can tell somebody that is waiting on the Lord for a child. They are having it. Once you say that the baby is you can do that. That is the extent to which you can use the prophetic when it comes to people. You can tell somebody, oh, 10 a.m. tomorrow, you get a job. Prophetic by the Spirit is correct. You can tell somebody, oh, by the grace of God, tomorrow you are going to meet your husband. That is allowed. But for you to say, oh, I see brother K and sister B together. One girl used to come to me all the time. I hope she's hearing this message this morning. Every time she sees me, she does not prophesy in anything. She was just about to I see sister Q and brother A together. The last time she came to me, I said, the Lord did not tell you that. Because that's how you people start. That is not the spirit of God. All you see is your spirit is a spirit of matchmaking. You're always seeing one brother and one sister together. And oftentimes, the people she's seeing together, you see that one of them is already in a relationship that she doesn't know, but I know. And then by bringing that prophet, bringing that one to me, now if I was a novice, I would not be thinking that their relationship is wrong and that she, of course, don't do that. Nobody, God does not give you that kind of prophecy. Don't stop playing Russian roulette with people's lives. It is important that you do what is right all the time. We are full of the Holy Spirit. We are learning how to walk with it. Daily we are growing, but we must also be mindful that the most precious entities to God are people, are his people. He came to die, not for goats, not for cars, not for, he came to die for his people, for us. We are not sick. The Bible said that the precious blood of the Son of God was shed. He paid. The Bible said he purchased us with his blood. So his people, his church is very important to him. And he would not subvert the will of one of us for the other. You must know this. And when you know this, you will be at peace. When he decides to give you a husband, you will know that God has given me a husband for me to keep and to cherish. It is not, I'm not going to force my husband because I've been saying to him that God gave you to me. So no. God will never allow that to happen between us. So that then you can misbehave thinking that because God gave me to get God put my leash in your hand. Therefore, I have no freedom of my own. I have no will of my own. Or God puts your leash in my hand. Therefore, I can control you the way somebody controls a dog. That is not how the prophetic works. We should all learn that and rest. If any of us gets the opportunity that God says this, you are praying, your brother is praying, and both of you come together, you agree to marry each other, both of you should know that in marrying each other, in coming together and marrying each other, you owe each other a duty of love, of respect, and there is no entitlement. There is no, the Holy Spirit gave him to me, therefore he cannot go anywhere. All those kind of talk. Better go and put them somewhere and take care of your husband and care for your wife. And make sure that both of you make sure that your relationship work and you work at it. There is no guarantee of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not underwrite anybody's marriage. It's not, I've never seen it, that the Holy Spirit says, oh, yeah, two of you, I'm underwriting this marriage, it will never break. You are deceiving. It will break more than break if you don't work at it. It's important that we know this as believers, all of us. And that we appropriate the things of the Spirit in the right place, and then we appropriate the thing of respect to each other in the right place. It will be disrespectful of me to just pick somebody here and say, God said you should go and marry somebody. It means I've totally taken away the fact that the Holy Spirit talks to you and the will of God for your life, and I'm trying to ride over you as a leader or as a brother that you respect. I'm trying to subvert. No. No. It will be wrong. And that is very important that all of us learn. We are still in the mood for the word and tongue fest. I know we've been having all the uppity, but this morning I just wanted to put in a word of caution out there so that as we prophesy and as a minister, we learn the boundaries and we do it right to the glory of God. As you go to your churches, if you're going to church, I know that the hand of the Lord is upon you. The prophetic hand of God is speaking through you, and grace is released unto you to do much more than you've ever done before. You will do Christ and you will do him right. And you will do it in such a way that the heavens would rejoice in your worship. And everyone that will testify of it will say, You did Christ, and you did Christ the right way. I know that the Lord has blessed you. Your hands are blessed. Your businesses are blessed. Your ministries are blessed. And everything you lay your hands upon prospers. Thank you, Father, for this. It's true. You go on in the word and tongue first. I know that all your children are activated to walk in the fullness of your power and grace. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody that is blessed shout glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.